The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy ya.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
People ask me, do you have your own struggles? Yeah, I went through one last night. I was frustrated because I was trying to find the perfect balance between the volume on the TV and the sound of my eating potato chips. Yeah, that was something that I did struggle with, and I'm better now. Better now, and I'm glad to be with you here on this Doctor Is In. Good Lord permitting, come to you Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock this time Eastern. Number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Some people have asked, 57 equal is too many letters. True. But when you dial a number, in this case a 10-digit number, the L in equal drops off. You can push in as many numbers as you want. You could dial 877-57-EQUAL time for me, and everything will drop off except the EQUA. That's it. So I'd love to have you on the program. You make the program. Without you, no program. That simple. Me? Get another host. It's no big deal. It's hard to get a whole bunch of other yous, though. So 877-57-EQUAL. And being it's getting close to the end of the week, I'm not going to spend too much more time in the office. My typical office days are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Fridays, I may float around. Some people come in from out of town. They want a 2 or 3 hour session. I might do something on a Friday. But for the most part, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is morning, afternoon office time. So it's closing up for the week on that. But I'm getting to talk to you, so that's kind of cool. 877-57-EQUAL. The experts for a long time have hammered away. Of course, an expert would not use a word like hammered. And it's just a little too manly, a little bit too harsh sounding. But really, that's what they've done. They've hammered away at the idea that if you want your child to communicate with you, you have to allow expression. You have to allow them to express themselves. I totally agree. I want to hear whatever my kids are thinking, however they're thinking it. It's pretty much wise to know these things. Now, that said, of course, you recognize as a parent, you're only going to hear a small percentage of what they're actually thinking. Had an interesting situation happen a while back where my youngest daughter wrote a letter to me and her mother about her frustrations with us as parents. And my wife took the letter and she put it up on the cupboard door. Our oldest son, who was 12 years older than she is, was in college at the time. She was about 13. He was in grad school. He saw the letter. He read it. Started laughing. And he said, yeah, I thought some of that stuff when I was 13. But I wasn't dumb enough to write it down. Yeah, good point. Both me and my wife started to laugh after that because he put it in perspective. But if you want your children to express themselves, the question becomes, what is expression? Typically, most expression is going to come out when they're frustrated. They don't like a rule you have. They don't like your social constrictions. You are a throwback. They look at their friends with much more freedom, much more possessions, and you're not allowing this. So they're frustrated. And that frustration is going to come out when they tell you about it, when they say about it, when they argue about it. Okay. So how much do you hear, right? What do you do? How do you know it's expressing feelings, and how do you know it's disrespect? Many parents will say it's gray. It's really gray. All right, I'll give you a test. Take whatever the child is doing to you, and for 1 month, do the exact same thing to your boss, your best friend, or your pastor. So, next time somebody says or does something you don't like, just go, yeah, right. Okay, whatever. At the end of a month, ask them, do you still like me? See if they say to you, I sure do. You know, a nice thing about our relationship, there are no masks in our relationship. I'll tell you that right now. I can see your genuine self coming through every time, and it makes me feel close to you. Now, if you get that, you've got a very unusual boss, best friend, or pastor. I doubt you'll get it. Because expressing feelings is very acceptable if the feelings expressed are expressed with respect. Freedom of speech comes with conditions. You can't just say anything you want however you want it. That's nasty. In the Old Testament, remonstrating with a parent was very, very punishable. Very. So, I would suggest, if you're wrestling over expressing of feelings, not sure how far to let the child go, just draw a parallel. What would happen if you did that to another adult? How would it be taken? That'll give you a good guideline. There's no question about that. If it's not good for a child to do that to you, and by the way, they are bound by a commandment, you know, then it's really not good for you to do that to anybody else. And the irony to all that is, if a friend of ours talked to us in expressing their feelings the way we sometimes allow our children to talk to us, I suspect we wouldn't want to be their friends very long. I suspect that friendship would fragment. But yet, we tend to permit a lot more from our children. And the irony is, we are responsible for raising them. We're not responsible for raising our friend. If our friend talks to us that way, we retreat. If our children talk to us that way, the people we're God-ordained to raise with virtue, we tend to permit it. Interesting irony. In the words of Captain Kirk, when he played another part, irony can be pretty ironic. 877-573-7825. Would love to hear from you.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a 7-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
Thank you for joining me, Dr. Ray Grandy. My cohort's there in Ave Maria Radio Land. Andrew Krucek, producer man, guy that flips all the buttons, flashing and beeping and going in order. And then Eric Dumont, who is our call screamer, who isn't hearing to me. He isn't listening to me because he is call screaming right now. And Andrew's not listening to me because he doesn't listen. Nevertheless, they are involved in the co-production through Ave Maria Radio Communications and EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Martha was on the phone yesterday. She was. I remember that. And she's asking a particularly poignant life direction here. And interestingly enough, Martha represents a proportion of grandparents who are in the role of raising grandchildren at the highest percentage, at least since they've been keeping records, recorded. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Love your show. I bought your two of your new books on, trying to be calm.
Just two? Martha, that's it? Just two? Well, you're going to have all kinds of psychological holes.
Well, one for me and one for somebody else I know that needs to read it, too.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Ray, I don't know if I should just send you an email. This is so complicated. I'll try to condense it as much as I can. 9 months ago, I got emergency temporary guardianship of my youngest grandchild, whose parents are drug addicts. Big surprise. And So back then my husband was alive, and he passed away 2 months after we got him. And my daughter has become co-guardian, and now we have permanent guardianship, but I know permanent doesn't necessarily mean permanent. But he goes back and forth between my house and my daughter's house and a couple other people that would just love to adopt him, but CPS says, oh, you can't just take children away from their parents. And it's like, well, no, that's a good idea. But, you know, anyway, and I'm having these discipline problems, and I don't know if it's because he's kind of being passed around like a hot potato, and I've got him in daycare now.
So could be because he's 19 months old. They're not discipline problems, Martha. 19-month-olds are not discipline problems. They are just little kids who are raw impulse and do all kind of stuff. And you've got to begin to teach them. That's really what it is. Okay. You can't expect a 19-month-old to cooperate. They're not going to.
Well, you know, when we got him and he was about 10 months old, I think he'd been in his car seat a lot, you know, with his mother and taking him to drug houses and stuff. And I'm sure once we all got him and he was like, oh, wow.
A lot of neglect.
Car seat?
A lot of neglect.
Yeah, neglect.
Well, here's the question. Here's the question. I'm noticing what Eric put up there. You said, should I put him up for adoption? Well, you can't unless she agrees, right?
Yeah, I can't.
Okay.
Well, I was wondering if I should get a lawyer to be an advocate for him, or I may have to end up putting him in the foster care system.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. How can you?
For me.
Well, what? I'm not sure the legalities. I don't know exactly what your rights are. Do you have permanent custody of this little guy?
I have. My daughter and I have a permanent co-guardianship, but my daughter is going to have to, drop out of that. And
when you say drop out, you mean relinquish it, give it up.
Yeah, relinquish it, unfortunately.
So you will have sole
grown and
you will have sole custodian of the you'll be sole custodian of this child. This will be legally your child.
Well,
right?
The court did say the one time the mother came to court, that's when it became permanent, and they asked her if she had a problem with it, and she said no. And then they let her know, well, we just want to let you know that permanent isn't permanent, you know, in case she ever gets her life straightened around. Well, right now she's on intensive probation, and she told my son, it's okay if he goes to foster care. It's just 2 years.
Well, Martha, I can't give you
to get straightened out.
I can't give you any particular thoughts on this because we really don't know what the legal situation is.
Yeah.
So given that, get yourself one session with a family law attorney.
Okay.
Say, here's what's happening. If the family law attorney says to you at some point, if you get permanent custody, you will then be able to place this child for adoption. Because, as you say, the landscape changed when your husband passed away. Now you're by yourself, you're older, and you're saying, look, I can't start for 16 more years of child rearing here, and I think that the little guy needs a mommy and a daddy. Love him to have that.
Exactly.
And I think that's enormously unselfish on your part. So much so.
Well,
I think it's tremendous.
I don't know if his parents would ever relinquish their
Well, that's why you gotta find out. Now if they don't, two things may happen. One, they'll slowly fade away because they won't get their lives together. And then you will be able to pursue legal action. Or two, it'll be both of you raising this child, and your stability will be critical in this little guy's life. But you're going to have to be a better disciplinarian, and you may just have to go buy my discipline books, you know? So you will be calm while you discipline. I think that's that's delightful for you to even.
So you have stuff in there for 19 months old, too, huh?
It's where it begins. It's not really. It's more training than anything else at 19 months old. Supervise, sidetrack, and stop. Martha, thank you. God bless you and your guidance. Get some good guidance on that, and so you'll be able to make some decisions on where to go with this. Because when you have to pick up the pieces, which is what you're doing, you're picking up a bunch of pieces. Yeah. You never can be totally sure which way to pick them up. And that's okay. That's okay. Don't paralyze yourself by saying, oh, no, what if I do that? What if it doesn't work out? But what if I do that and it doesn't? No. You got to make a good judgment here. Ask the Lord. Hey, Lord, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. Give me some help on this. And because I've had to do that all my life. Okay. So when we adopted our children, I kept saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. You better help me out.
Yeah.
So he did. He did help me out. He let my wife do it. Thanks, Martha.
Yeah.
Talk to you.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
Bye.
Ray.
Isn't it interesting now? Now, Martha was asking, I would like to have this little guy, my grandson. What a loving act that was on her part. I'd like him to have a mommy and a daddy, okay? Younger people who would raise him in a solid, stable family, two parents. And this comes on the heel of a little interview I did today with Vanessa, who is substituting for Teresa Tamio, that in your Michigan area, some consultant to a school district, some consulting group to a school district, basically trashed the nuclear family. They said the nuclear family was in so many respects, I don't know what they called it, familyism or some ism, some nonsense. And their point was, well, you know, a two-parent family. We need to get our teachers to get away from this idea of a two-parent family. There's a whole lot of families out there. They're every which direction. And interestingly enough, they didn't even say that the two-parent family was an option. They said it was a bad thing. Now, of course, they're just rejecting and ignoring massive mountains of evidence that at every socio and psychological level says the most thriving environment for a child is a committed mother and father. You can't argue with that. This is not a religious proclamation. But apparently theirs is. Theirs is. Because they're going against the data. They're going against overwhelming information to say, we've decided in our theoretical perspective that you two-parent families are a danger. We've got to do what we can. So here's this loving mother, loving grandmother saying, no, no. And I wonder if she knows. I wonder if she knows that that particular group in the school district in Michigan, and I'm not going to mention them, in fact, thinks that she'd be just awful for doing this. Do I sound sarcastic? Yes, you better believe it. Linda is from Buffalo. I, on the other hand, am from humans. Hi, Linda, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, Dr. Ray.
How old are these teenagers, this teenager who says, all of a sudden, I don't believe in God?
17. And we have a rule, and it actually was channeled quite a bit through listening to you, that if you live in our house, you will go to church. And so she talks about wanting to move out, but she loves family, and she's got a positive spirit. It was confirmed 2 years ago, but has been sending poison darts at me when she goes to church.
That's right. I don't even believe in God, and you're making me go to church. What a joke.
So the other night at dinner, we were saying grace, our whole family at dinner, and she likes family dinner, and she wasn't saying grace, I've noticed, for a while. So I said, oh, are you not saying grace anymore? And she said,
to
no,
who?
I'm an atheist.
Who do I say it to?
And my husband and I had different reactions, but we were pretty strongly together, just asking, so do you not believe that Jesus existed, or do you not believe he's God? She said, no, I think he existed, because we did Father Ricardo's idea of, so he's either a lunatic, a liar, or he's God. He's got to be one of those things. She didn't say anything, but just was really surprised that this was her response. And so we're standing strong, and we think that probably this is just, it's easier to not believe because she doesn't want to go to church anymore, but wondering about your advice for how to continue to move forward.
You're experiencing a very common phenomenon with the young generation. The highest percentage of them ever recorded are now non-believers. Under age 35... it is 43%. Off the charts high. Now, where is this coming from? Obviously, she's been raised in a religious home. She's been raised with people who believe. However, she doesn't believe, which tells you that she's gotten information from somewhere else. Her friends, her school, most likely the internet and social media. Then please don't tell me how long she's had a smartphone. I don't even want to know, because then I'll yell at you. So I'll just don't tell me. Don't tell me. But you're giggling. So I'm going to guess at least 12 or 13. So given all that.
Actually 14 and a half. But
wow. You held on there.
Okay. We did.
So given all that, you got to get down to, I want to know exactly why you've decided there is no God. You're gonna have to tell me. Now, there are just an absolute mountain of books out there that make a very powerful case for God. Okay? I was just recently at a conference, Napa Conference in California, where I listened to Father Spitzer. Now, Father Spitzer is a physicist, and he's also a priest. He gave three presentations. Science on the doorstep to God. Science on the doorstep to Christ. Science on the doorstep to Mary. Stay there, Linda. Stay there, because I want to talk to you some more. Don't leave me. 877-573-7825. You call in, as I say, anytime. Call in. Good chance you'll get on.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Do you know what your diocese, what your church, what your parish is doing to help families in need? Women who feel they're in a desperate situation and for whatever reason, God forbid, may consider abortion. This is not difficult. The information is out there. We have to become more aware, and we have to be willing to not only know about what's available, but to do something about the issues. It's not just up to, quote unquote, the church. We're all part of the church, and we're all called to put our faith into action, or else we will be guilty of having a dead faith, as St. James reminds us. So first things, be aware, and then be willing to do something.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
What is wrong with artificial birth control? The Catholic Catechism explains that it unnaturally breaks the bond between the two essential elements of the conjugal act, the unitive and the procreative. The unitive element is the mutual self-giving of the spouses to one another. The procreative element is the openness to the act's potential and natural end, life. The truth of marital love is falsified when we separate what God has decreed as inherent and inseparable to the marriage act. We don't unnaturally separate eating from its natural end, nourishment. When we wish to control our weight, we abstain from food. Thus, if for just reasons we wish to control birth during a fertile period, we should abstain from sexual relations. In an age of ecological awareness, church-approved natural family planning, which is both healthy and free, is cause for environmental applause. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Joining me, Dr. Ray Grandy. I've talked to a delightful, well, I don't know if she's delightful. She's delightful on this phone call. That's about all I know, but she definitely seems delightful. If I were to guess, if I were forced to guess, I would say that probably her delight on this phone call reflects an actual personal delight. Linda from Buffalo, New York. Linda, you still there, dear?
I am here.
Okay. Now, we've already been over the whole idea that more and more kids are just absolutely doubting the faith they were raised in. There's no question about that. Not your fault. She's been influenced by other factors, and she's pondered them, and she's realized this whole God, Jesus thing, wait, that's my mom and dad's thing. You know, that's fine, but it ain't me. Okay. Couple of things, more than a couple, but I'll just give you a couple. There are a mountain of books out there, and I was talking to you about Father Spitzer. If you go to magiscenter.com, there are several, well, more than several, a lot, very powerful, indisputable scientific evidence that needs to be looked at because it cannot be explained by anything we know of now. So, if she's saying, well, you know, there's no evidence for God, there's plenty of evidence for God. She just doesn't know any of it. Secondly, there's a couple of very short books she could look at. One's written by a guy named Lee Strobel. It's called The Case for Christ. Now, Strobel's not Catholic, but he was an atheist. He was an atheist journalist, and he decided, I'm going to prove this whole God-Jesus thing is nonsense. And now he's a very powerful, high-profile, speaking on the subject Christian. Came to that conclusion. The book's easy to read. He interviews a lot of people, and he hears the evidence and the logic behind Jesus being God. If Jesus is God, then there is a God. It's an easy follow. Secondly, there is a much bigger book called the Handbook of Catholic Apologetics. Okay, mm-hmm. The Handbook of Catholic Apologetics is a book by Peter Kraft, one of my favorite people in the world, and Ron Tocelli. Now, it sounds kind of broad-based, and it is, but she can pick particular chapters. And it deals really with the logic
How do we look at this logically? What's our options? Another book I really liked, I just finished it up, I read it twice. It's called The Death of Atheism. It's by a guy named Eric Metaxas. Metaxas is quite a spunky writer. I love his writing style. He talks about, as science is becoming more sophisticated, they are being forced to conclude, and even the non-believing scientists are being forced to conclude, something put all this in motion, because the odds of this happening by chance are so far removed that it had to be orchestrated. The book, especially in the first several chapters, he talks about all the scientific evidence for God. So what I would do is I would say to your daughter, if you're going to decide not to believe in this, you better know why you don't believe in it. I'm not going to let you live in this house saying, I, at age 17, because I'm so wise, have decided this is all nonsense. Oh, really? Well, before you decide that it's nonsense, you're going to look at the evidence. After looking at the evidence, if you decide it's nonsense, there isn't anything I can do about that. God's going to have to open your eyes. But if you take an honest, fair look at the evidence and the logic, you will be a believer. And you just don't let her get away with this. Well, I just declare there is no God. At age 17, I've declared him out of existence.
So I think that it's easier to say that she's atheist than to deal with her parents, who are quite consistent about attendance to Mass and faith in our daily lives. I don't think she would read the book.
Well, make her.
But I want to continue.
Wait, wait. Stop.
You're saying I should require it?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Of course. Wait a minute. I'm going to ask you a couple questions here, Linda.
Yeah.
Does she drive?
No.
Oh, she doesn't drive? All right. Yeah. All right. Of course, she has a smartphone, right?
Yes.
Of course.
No, we still have power over her choices.
She is not going. If she's going to declare there is no God, and she's a minor living in your home, she is going to read those books, and you guys are going to discuss them.
Okay.
That's where it's going to be. You can't sit there and go, okay, well, she just declared there's no God, and I can't do anything about it because she'll refuse to read the book. Really? I don't think so.
Well, I agree with you. One of the things she said is, I just don't know what I believe. Other people believe in Greek gods. Other people believe in no God.
Yes. Here's what you tell her. You're right. But in the words of a very brilliant priest, when somebody threw that objection at him, he said, I don't have to know about all those other beliefs. All I have to know is if my belief in Jesus Christ holds up to scrutiny, evidence, and reason. And if it does, then I know it is the right one. So however else all those other people believe, I'm not prepared to say they're just as right. Because I've explored this. She hasn't explored it at all. Come on, Linda. And you're saying,
she just doesn't want to do it.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course.
She wants to be of the world.
Uh-huh, of course.
Easier.
You better watch that phone. I'm telling you, you better watch that phone.
Yes.
You've let her have it for 3-4 years now. That is who's teaching her. That and her friends, who are also being shaped by that phone.
Yes.
So don't this is a hill to die on.
Thank you.
Okay, dear. Go for it. And by the way, you read them too. You read them. You'll be able to engage her. You know, for example, if she were to talk to me, there is no way that her objections would stand up to logical, reasonable scrutiny. Because I've been there. I've been doing this for 20 years, studying this stuff. I've had to, because I've had my own doubts. All righty. Thank you, girl. Thank you so much for the call. Okay?
Thank you.
All righty. You're welcome. I know, Jackie said, C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. That is a good one. And there is a visual presentation. Yeah, there's just so much stuff there. You're absolutely correct. I wanted to give Linda some of the possibilities. The book, The Case for Christ. Another one I read,
was Cold Case Christianity. I love that book. You know why? This guy was a detective. He was a homicide detective, an atheist. And he'd get into battles with his colleagues about no God. He decided to take the principles that he used to investigate a crime, to investigate Christ. He was going to look at the evidence from a homicide detective's point of view on whether Christ was who he said he was. Now, this guy is a high-profile evangelical Christian now. He was on God's Not Dead. I think he testified in one of the scenes in court. Wallace, I think, is his name. Wallace. It's a good book. I read it twice. Love reading those books. Love the logic of them.
The EWTN home video highlight for August is They Might Be Saints, Rhoda Wise. Among the healing miracles of this stigmatic and mystic was the cure of 19-year-old Rita Rizzo, the girl who became EWTN's Mother Angelica. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak, and our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
That was the kind of music I used to play when I played in restaurants. You had to play this kind of stuff for supper. You get in there about, you start about 7, 8 o'clock. People still eating. You had to kind of play the Latin type stuff, you know, and then you could pick up the pace of it as you got a little bit later. Most of those places do not have those kinds of live organ piano bars anymore. And Hannibal, Missouri, crossing the mountains there. And what an honest question, but an easy question. How are you, Ann?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you what you said up there. This is how we summarize it, okay? And then you and I can jump on it. I think my mother is a narcissist. She's in a nursing home, makes it difficult for the nurses to take care of her. I did some research on narcissists, and I found that a way to deal with them is no contact. So it's been 4 years since I've talked to my mom. I have guilty thoughts about whether I'm doing the right thing. Does that kind of summarize it?
Well, close. It was my dad that was in a nursing home, and she alienated all the nurses' staff when he was in there. So we moved him to a different nursing home, and she alienated that staff. She made it awful for him. Oh. I couldn't figure out what was wrong, so I did my research, and I personally decided that she had narcissistic personality disorder, and it explained a lot of things that happened back in my younger years. And there was no reasoning with her. And my dad asked to have a different power of attorney, and my siblings elected me to do it. And she pretty much told me, well, she didn't pretty much. She exactly said she wished I wasn't alive. Huh. And that's the last conversation we had.
Well, she didn't do anything about that, actually, did she?
No.
Okay. Since I'm still talking to you, I figure she didn't. Okay. All righty, my dear. Well, you know, it's so interesting you would say this question, because it's fascinating. Because. I'm editing a new book.
2 days ago.
Pardon. From your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I'm editing a new book, the book that I'm working on. And the particular chapter, I have a little section on narcissistic personality disorder. And I make the observation that, first of all, that's a pretty serious personality disorder. All right? Mm-hmm. And the danger is, of course, for someone to look on the internet and go, oh, that's it. That explains it. That's who it is.
Yes. This is true.
It doesn't explain anything, Ann. It doesn't explain anything at all. All it says is there's a name for it. We just give it a name. It doesn't say why your mother does what she does. It doesn't say who she does what she does with. It says she's difficult. It says she's unpleasant. She's emotional. She's manipulative. Whatever pejoratives you want to fling around. But for you to say, well, she's narcissistic, therefore I have my explanation. You don't. You don't have any explanation. None at all. When you say, why is my mother this way? The best answer probably is, my mother's this way. That's probably your best answer. Now, however, what we do know is what you described. She makes it incredibly difficult for anybody trying to help out your dad. Is he passed now, Ann?
Yeah, he passed a few years ago.
Okay. So she made it very difficult. She was just hard. It's hard to get along with. And these people are probably going, get her out of here, right?
Oh, they did that. Yeah. They banned her from the nursing home.
Okay. She's got to be pretty tough. So given that, you read in one of the places you were looking on this that they said, this is, now keep in mind, Ann, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Okay. What you read was probably written by someone who didn't have your Christian view when they said the best way to deal with your mother is to cut her off. Right? That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right. Now, how does that square with your deep-held Christian beliefs of honor thy father and mother, even though she could be a major league jerk, at least give her the respect that's her due because God put her there. How does that square with reading that, what you read, which says, cut her off?
Well, it doesn't make sense.
God bless you. Good answer. Like you already. So what happened was you did cut her off, right?
I did.
Hmm. You must have had mixed feelings about that.
My childhood was tough.
You had a bad history, which even further convinced you that, in fact, when you called your mom a narcissist, that's what she was, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes and no. What we know is she was one difficult lady, okay? We do know that. Really difficult. I mean, put her on the 4 standard deviations out continuum. But she's still your mom. And as a believer, would you have the right to say, I may not like being around her. She's hard to be around. I gotta kind of ignore 82% of what she says. But here and there, I can still have contact with my mother and show her a warm side of her daughter because that's what Jesus says for me to do. Rather than the expert on the internet said I should just distance myself from my mother. Right?
Yeah.
Is it too late?
I don't know. I just got a card a couple days ago. If she's still reasonably healthy and it's not too late.
Okay. Well, here's what I think you could do. You know what your mom's like. This ain't going to be no surprise. Okay?
Right.
Your expectations for dealing with her is pretty much she hasn't changed. She may never change. And to get along with her, I'm going to have to just not be provoked by her when she says nonsense things, when she accuses me. I know. Maybe I'll keep my visit short. Okay. I can take her 37 minutes at a time. But my one option that I'm probably not allowed to have as a Christian, as a believer, is to say to my mother, I don't want anything more to do with you. Get out of my life. You can do something like that with a mother, but it has to be so extreme. And even if your mother meets all the criteria for narcissistic personality disorder, let's say you get 100 experts together, they'd assess your mother, and 82 of them would say, absolutely, man, oh, man, this woman, she's off the charts. Yeah. Okay, even if, Ann, that's no reason to cut her off.
Okay.
You know, you could tolerate anything for short periods of time. Hey, do you listen to this show?
As often as I can.
Well, then you tolerate me for short periods of time.
And I have never heard you say anything that I could ever disagree with. I'm really impressed. So
that's because
that's
because you're brilliant. That's why. But, you know, I just said something that really threatened to make you disagree with it, because I'm saying, you know, our Lord says, not me, then it's not Ray Guarendi says. Our Lord says, right. You can't say to your mom, I mean, it'd be different if your mom, every time you showed up, she had a gun. And she said, you know how I said I'd be better if you were dead? Well, I'm going to do something about it. Now, that'd be a little different, okay?
Or if you crossed my mind, but she never did it.
Okay, it's just like, maybe, hey, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking she thinks you're the narcissist.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. See, narcissism is in the eye of the beholder. I think you will be at peace, Anne. I think you'll feel better if you say to yourself, I know who my mom is. I know who she was and who she probably always will be. However, right. I can treat her with the respect that God wants me to treat her with. And that will mean I'll probably have to put up with a bunch of crap. Okay, got it. But I can still do that. And that's what our Lord would want from me.
Okay. Okay, I can do that.
So wait a minute. I still haven't said anything you disagree with yet.
Well, no, I think that's why I called, because I haven't talked to her in 4 years.
Ooh.
And about once or twice a year I get these cards, these reach outs, and I don't respond, and there's always that guilt.
Yeah, well, and that's good. It's good you feel guilty, because as obnoxious as she is, she's still saying, hey, I kind of want to see how my daughter's doing here.
Well, she probably doesn't want to see how I'm doing. She wants to tell me how she's doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but and that's right. That's a good answer, but still. Beautiful answer.
So.
God bless you, dear. What a nice heart you showed.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it a lot.
You are welcome. I'll talk to you later. Oh, that, you know, a call like that makes you feel good, really. Because, you know, here's Ann saying, I'm open. She's saying, I'm open. She didn't call to say, well, I'm going to tell you all the reasons why my mother's totally an obnoxious jerk and I'm not going to be around her. And then whatever I would say, Ann would say, yeah, but you don't know my mother. Let me tell you what she did last year. No, she didn't do that. She had an open heart. She said, okay, I've been wrestling with this. And I followed the directions of probably some secular expert who could care less what Jesus said, even though Jesus is God. But he could care less because he's an expert. That's an interesting thing. That's, you know, and I might even include that because in this chapter I'm writing on narcissism. Interesting. Read that it should automatically make it so that she shouldn't be contacted. That's a good point. I'm going to have to edit that. I'm Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life, lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Toward the end.
Very much toward the end. I do appreciate the company. How very, very, very nice. I had two calls today that really, well, all the calls moved me well. But those kind of nudged my heart there, which, of course, was Ann here. If in fact, she, and I think she will, she certainly sounded very genuine, going back to at least connect with her mother somewhat. And I don't know if you're still listening, but I've talked to a lot of folks who, because their aging parents have become so very difficult, they decided it's better for my peace to keep away from them. And then the aging parent died. And they lived, if you think you're living with guilt now while she's alive, see, you can't undo anything after she's passed. So, God bless you. And then our other call from a grandmother that's kind of put in a position of caretaking for a 19-month-old son who her husband passed away not too long ago. And now she's in a position of saying, you know, my age, looking at 16 more years, looking at my daughter's very rough lifestyle, who knows if she'll ever get custody back. It's all uncertain. It's all up in the air. But if it comes to it, I would love to place this little guy for adoption. And she said, I want to give him a mommy and a daddy. I got a couple of really good hearts there. I want to answer this call. This was, Sheila dropped off. She was calling from Fort Wayne. She said, I got some difficult in-laws. Whose responsibility is it to make the change? Theirs or mine? Now, I'm getting these calls that are truly touching upon this book I'm working on. And in the book, I talk about difficult people, of course, getting along with difficult people. And you can't change the difficult people. That's the reality. But you can change you. And you say, well, whose responsibility is it to make the change? You can make the personal change. In other words, I don't have to react as strongly to the things they say. I've upset myself now for 12 years. I don't have to do that. I don't have to retaliate. I don't have to say something back. I don't have to grit my teeth and gut through any contact with them and then be distressed for the next 3 days. I don't have to do that. There's nothing written that says that's how I have to react. So, yeah, to get along with difficult people, you can do it. You may not have a warm relationship with them because they don't permit it. But you don't have to be so distressed by it
because you on your end can make changes on how they react. They may not change in the face of your changes. They may still be as opinionated. They may still be as manipulative, whatever word you want to use. But the difference is, it doesn't get to you as much as it has. There's the difference. That's where you make the change in your own head. My book's going to address a lot of that much more directly. Thanks, Andrew Krucek. Thanks, Eric DeMont. And thanks to all you dear folks. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand. No children? Then you got two hands to hold on to God's.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.